Even though election fever is over, we are going to talk about presidential things today on Movie Rollers. We're going to review the movie Lincoln. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, the show is for you. Good evening, both.
Good evening.
Greetings.
So we only have one movie to talk about today, and that's a timing thing for us. We're going to release this one a little off schedule with relative to our other films, just because we got to see this one a little bit early. So who is introducing this one? Rashmi, you want to take it away?
Sure. So Steven Spielberg directs Daniel Day-Lewis in Lincoln, a revealing drama that focuses on the 16th president's tumultuous final months in office. In a nation divided by war and the strong winds of change, Lincoln pursues a course of action designed to end the war, unite the country, and abolish slavery. With the moral courage and fierce determination to succeed, his choices during this critical moment will change the fate of generations to come. Along with Daniel Day-Lewis, this also stars Sally Field, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Tommy Lee Jones, Jared Harris, John Hawkes, and so many others, I couldn't even list them. So, Joe, why don't you kick us off?
Sure. It's a bit of an oh dear for me, this movie. It has been incredibly well received. I know I'm almost certainly going to be one of the few people that didn't really love this movie. It was extremely well done. They had the life directed out of it by Spielberg, and Daniel Day-Lewis, as always, becomes a character. One never feels that he's acting, and he's such a chameleon. So for those two reasons alone, I think this movie is worth seeing. Just for me, it ended up being a little bit too talky and slow for my taste.
Yes, D.
So I do not know if it is intentional, but the entire film has a very formal, deliberate feel to it. And I think that's what you were alluding to, Joe, which makes the structure of the movie feel a little bit wooden, almost as if you were watching a play, which is not surprising considering that it's written by a playwright, Tony Kushner. So the clunkiness of the film bothered me at first in terms of its structure. But once I got into what the film was trying to say, I got a lot more involved with it. And like you, Joe, while I'm not in love with this movie, I really admire it tremendously. And I've been thinking about it a lot, and I like what it has to say. It has made me think a lot about where we are right now and where we've come from in American politics. So I think that's its achievement.
So I would actually say what both of you said verbatim, certain parts of that. This is an incredible piece of filmmaking. I mean, would you expect anything less from Steven Spielberg? Oscar-worthy acting from Daniel Day-Lewis. I do not doubt that he's going to get an Oscar nod for this. This is a big epic film, complete with battle scenes and an important story to tell, Yazdi, like you said. It's not far off from what we're seeing today in the world with different names and faces. But it was just exactly the words you said, Joe. Too talky for my liking. It was just way too dull and boring and a real snooze fest at nearly 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that maybe Spielberg is not the best director to do a movie which is only about people. I think Spielberg, by definition, is a director who is larger than life. I mean, he always likes to... There is nothing subtle about Spielberg. He's always about the big gesture. And I think there's a lot of subtlety here. And so at many places, it feels like play acting. It feels like somebody's put on costumes and they're putting on accents and saying things. And I can see how that might, you know, bother some people. But I agree, in the moment, you know, the movie took a lot out of me to keep up with it in terms of what everybody was saying. But I think after about the 1 hour mark, I really got into it. And instead of getting withdrawn from it, I got into it a little bit more. And like you said, Rashmi, I mean, I don't know if it was intentional or not, or if that was the intent of the movie in the first place, but all this, you know, backstabbing and all this political grandstanding and your advisors telling you one thing and you meaning to do another. I mean, everything that happened in 1865 is relevant now in 2012.
Absolutely.
And
right.
So in a way, I almost, uh, uh, I, I hate the fact that this movie wasn't released like a month before the elections.
I'm so glad it wasn't. I mean, I think we don't need to see that kind of thing to add to all of the confusion that we're seeing in the world right now. I mean, I think, and again, I think it had certain political leanings as well. I mean, Lincoln himself was famously Republican. And, you know, some of the themes in the movie aren't necessarily modern Republican Party themes, but I think it did have a very certain political slant.
And interesting you say that the timing of the release yesterday. We actually saw a really good 60 Minutes interview with Steven Spielberg, and he actually said he intentionally didn't want it released before the election. So that was deliberate. I think, you know, it's interesting you talk about the costume. For me, I think I got lost and distracted in that, because although the set production itself is faultless, I mean, it's very representative of its time. I mean, who knows, but you know, how you imagine the time would be. But it came across as a bunch of mustached men just talking in room after room after room. And I just couldn't get past that. It became so tiresome. And I just got distracted by the costume and the bad hair on Tommy Lee Jones and the bad mustaches and the long beards.
I think that stuff is actually quite authentic. So, you know, that is how people wore their hair and beards in those days. I can see why it was distracting for you, because it was very much a period piece. I mean, you know, they had lavished no expense spared, had, you know, was put into any of this stuff. This was Spielberg spending $50 million on, you know, what he wanted to be authentic. So,
but I hate to bring this up, because I think you two are going to slap me, but we watched Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter this year also. Oh, and I know you're saying, oh God, but my point is that was also a story about Lincoln, but the periodness didn't distract as much. For some reason, I found this one way more distracting, and I could buy into that one.
You know why
a little
it didn't distract
more
as much? Because in that universe, they were freaking vampires. It's like, how can you be distracted by costume when there's vampires, blood-sucking evil fiends everywhere? I mean, come on, this is not a fair...
I know, but I'm just doing a comparison of like for like, in a sense.
Right. I mean, this is a movie set 150 years ago, right? So people talk differently, people dress differently, and so forth.
Yeah.
I think the one great takeaway, and it's an obvious for me, obvious thing, and the movie doesn't overtly make this point, but what I took away from it was that every social history has come with great difficulty while facing majority opposition and by paying a terrible price.
Yeah.
You know, any big social change that you look at, I mean, the majority of the country or of the world were greatly opposed to it, and it took one person or a very select group of people who decided that at that point in history was not morally right. Correct. And they took a stand against the majority, and they paid a big price for it. And I like that, you know, that's kind of conveyed with, you know, with this whole story. And I like the fact that this movie at no point tries to be a biopic, and nobody should expect this to be a biopic. It only concentrates on these last few months, you know, during the second term of Lincoln's presidency. And is very focused towards this issue of, you know, Lincoln trying to get the amendment
to abolish
slavery.
Right. No, I mean, I think when the movie picked up on that theme, and that didn't really come, I think, until, you know, somewhere into well deep into the second act, or at least well deep into the second hour of the movie, it had more flow to it. And so, Yazdi, like you, I think, you know, as the movie progressed, it ended up being a little bit more coherent. But I think for me, one of the issues that the movie had was that in addition to that one theme, which was really the clear goal of the movie, it was mm-hmm. to tell that story, it had all this other stuff crammed in, and yeah. It was all historical and political bantering. But I think initially that was such a distraction for me that I couldn't bond with the movie. I mean, there was all this noise around what the central theme was. And I think that ended up making it very, you know, plodding and tedious. I mean, evidently this is very well researched, and evidently much of this type of stuff is not conjecture. It happened, there's documentation of it. But wow, you know, what a way to distract us from what is the central theme of a movie. And I think a lot of audiences, I think, are going to have a hard time with that. I mean, the critics obviously are all googly eyes over this movie, but the the regular audiences, I think, are going to be distracted.
Well, hang on a second. It may also be a consequence of the fact that we don't know much about American history and we weren't raised with that, and that may change our view of it. So maybe the general audience will enjoy it. I know certainly I've talked to some people who are really eager to see this and can't wait to see it and will actually have said to me, I would make the choice to watch Lincoln over Skyfall. So, you know, maybe that's our point of view. The one thing I wanted to bring up with you guys was, and I don't know if I'm the only one that's feeling this, Daniel Day-Lewis, without question, he's always mesmerizing and he's brilliant as Lincoln. And I thought Sally Field did a good job of playing his wife, but to me, she felt a little bit miscast. I didn't get the chemistry between them. Did any of you feel that?
I think the chemistry between them was intentionally off because she did have, mental illness, right? I mean, she was...
Well, she was grieving their son.
Right.
He claimed, right, supposedly.
But was she not... And this is where I completely give up my entire lack of a knowledge of American history, but I believe she was mentally ill. She had some kind of...
I know what you mean, though, Rashmi. I think part of it might come from the fact that in the real world, Sally Field is older than Daniel Day-Lewis. So it seems, so maybe inherently you can't buy the idea of them being married.
Yeah, maybe.
But the fact is, you know, obviously Daniel Day-Lewis plays much older than he is in real life. And so that's fine. So yeah, I see what you mean.
I almost feel like a Michelle Pfeiffer would have been a better choice as his wife. I don't know. It just, for that, so that didn't work for me.
According to Wikipedia, she suffered from migraine headaches and may have had bipolar disorder. So there is a mental illness aspect to her. And I think the character herself was very kind of standoffish. When you say there was no chemistry, I think that was perhaps a reflection of how they really were together.
Yeah.
It's almost like he took care of her rather than, you know, loved her as one might a wife.
Yeah.
Okay, anything more to say on this one?
A couple of things. I think, you know, I've been thinking a lot as to, you know, why Lincoln has endured so much. I mean, why you know, you're in this millennium, you know, Lincoln is so beloved. We still talk of him. You know, he's probably considered one of the greatest American presidents ever. And I think part of the reason, and the movie kind of, I think, alludes to this, is that, you know, he was a man who stuck by his belief, knowing full well that his actions will wholly antagonize a large portion of his electorate. But he still went on, and he was very refreshingly apolitical in that, where he said, I don't care if I'm going to antagonize everybody. You know, he stood his ground, kept his conviction. And you almost contrasted that to the current politicians who are so careful not to antagonize this portion of the population and that portion. And they're all so driven by what their political advisors say. So I think Lincoln stands out because he, in my mind, at least, you know, he stood his ground and he was who he was. And I think there was also a bit of cunning to him, which kind of reminded me of Nelson Mandela and that Clint Eastwood movie, where although he was very well-intentioned, he realized at that period in time, there was no reason for slavery to be, you know, he wanted to abolish it, but he deliberately wanted to do it before the Civil War ended, because he knew that once the Civil War had officially ended, the Southern states would never agree to abolishing slavery. So he kind of played the game very well, and the movie kind of makes a point about how he wanted to get that amendment repealed before the Civil War formally ended. So he was very cunning in terms of how he played that whole political game to do what he believed was right at that time. So I really liked how the movie played with that. And then my final comment is, you know, about Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, gosh, I mean, can you play a more well-known, more, you know, parodied, more renowned character? And yet, almost from the very first frame, when you see Lincoln in this movie, he seems familiar. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's a caricature. He doesn't seem like somebody's play-acting him. He just feels like Lincoln. And, you know, all these little mannerisms, how he wears his top hat, how he has this shuffle in his gait, his voice kind of almost sounds Bill Clinton-esque, you know, this soft. So, I mean, I think this is really difficult stuff. And, you know, this is like jumping off a cliff with no tether, you know, and as an actor. And I think this is why Daniel Day-Lewis is celebrated as much as he is. Yeah. I mean, this is very difficult stuff.
I mean, let's face it, Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio would not be playing Lincoln.
Well, there was a great interview with Day-Lewis on NPR a couple of days ago, actually, as he was talking about his process for kind of inventing this character, because as famous as Lincoln was, no one actually has any recordings film of him. So a lot of what he had to come up with, you know, he took from letters that people had written, and he knew that this guy had a certain way about his talk, that his voice was actually quite high pitched, mm-hmm. and that was one of the things that enabled him to project without microphones and speakers to these very large audiences. But the voice in particular is something that he spoke about. He said it took him a long time to really come up with something that he felt was believable, and he came up with it one Sunday afternoon. It was like, bang, I've nailed it. And for an actor to put that much thought into every single aspect, the physicality and the voice and the mannerisms of a character, is what makes Day-Lewis so special. One of my favorite references is his performance in There Will Be Blood, which is just, it's spectacular. The only reason to watch that movie is to watch an actor at the top of his game. And we're seeing that thing again here with Lincoln.
I mean, that's why he wins Oscar after Oscar.
I mean, I think if you're an actor, I mean, you should run like 100 miles away if somebody offers you a role like Lincoln. I mean, I don't want to get anywhere close to it, because there's 100 booby traps. I mean, people would be laughing at you if you do one wrong thing, and, you know, good for him. And I actually think this movie is like a masterclass. You know, it's full of formidable acting from every single person, be it Tommy Lee Jones, John Hawks, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There's really, really all kinds of actors doing good. And Gloria Rubin, who of ER fame, she plays the African-American slave who's an aide to Mary Todd Lincoln. And she kind of almost forms the heart of the movie. You know, the reason why Lincoln almost is... It validates his point that he should end slavery. So there's some really fine acting here as well.
Yeah. Okay, let's wind this one up then. So Yaz, do you go first?
Yeah, so I think most people will have a problem with the structure of the movie, which is very play-like and very, very wooden almost. But I think once you get past that and get past the first hour of the movie, I really like what it has to say. It has some tremendous acting. This is the kind of movie that you have to allow yourself to digest afterwards. I give it 7 out of 10.
Only 7. That's interesting, because you've heaped a lot of praise on it based on what you spoke.
I have great admiration for this kind of stuff, but I'm not in love with this movie. You know, compared...
I'm surprised it's not even a 7.5.
It's a 7. it is a 7.5, but I back it up to 7.
Okay. Why are you encouraging halves?
I'm just surprised you didn't throw one in.
Okay, go for it, Joe.
I mean, this is a very accomplished, brilliantly acted, and it's evidently this is, you know, a great movie. I think this movie will be celebrated for years to come. It will be taught in film school. Everything's good. The direction, the writing, the camera work in this movie is terrific. However, I think it's a little too ambitious for most audiences. Again, that may be because I'm ignorant to American history, but I just felt that there was a little too much crammed into this story, and it almost falls over with its weight of ambition. So for me, it wasn't a thoroughly enjoyable movie experience, and that makes it hard for me to recommend. I'm going to give this one a 6 out of 10.
So if you're interested in Lincoln or this particular part of history, then you should go and see this. But take snacks, and preferably sugary ones, to keep you awake. I won't argue for or against this one. 5 out of 10.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's a movie that one admires but doesn't enjoy. At least that's how I felt about it in the moment.
And I agree with you. I agree with both of you. This is exceptional filmmaking, but it doesn't, as far as a movie going experience, if you're looking for something to do on a Friday night, then this would not be my choice.
I think the way that this movie was made, I would have preferred to have seen it broken up as like a mini series, like a 3-episode special on HBO.
Yeah.
And then it kind of works, you know, everything that they're trying to explore, all the themes that they're trying to put together, it would have been wonderful. But as a, you know, 2.5-hour, 3-hour, epic movie, it's tiresome, and that's really where my reservations come from. It was just frankly a little bit boring. All right, well, this is Standalone Episode, so that's our one movie for this week. Do let us know what you think of Lincoln. Mail at moviewallers.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, facebook.com/moviewallers as well. As always, it's too many movies, too little time. So I'm going to bid you all good night.
Me as well.
And me too. Me 3.
I tripped you up with that one, didn't I?
Yes.
I bid ye adieu.